Well, good morning, folks. Welcome back once again. Yes, it is Friday morning. That means it's time to talk about what's been going on this week. And thankfully, got the whole crew here this morning with me. Tim Kern is online via the phone. Doesn't have access to Skype, but I think we'll be able to hear him okay. And, of course, he does have access to Skype, at least some of the time. And that's Jeff Gilbert way down south in Costa Rica. So let me say good morning to folks, and we'll go to Tim first and let him direct us, because we got no shortage of, I guess you'd call it a target-rich environment today to talk about. So good morning, Jeff. How are you doing?
You said we're going to go to Tim first, then you said good morning, Jeff.
So I said, well, we'll say hi to everybody. We'll say hi to everybody, and then we'll go to Tim for the meat.
Oh, I stand under. Hey, I'm doing great. How you guys doing, man? I'm doing great, wonderful, happy days, all that stuff. Tim, tell us what's going on.
Good morning.
Okay, we got that sorted out. I'm in North Carolina sitting on a park bench in the sun. It's nice. I can't wait to see where this show is going to go. We've got everything from Syria calling us irresponsible to
there's plenty of that.
There's the 2-week suspension of Judge Jeanine, except they hired Donna Brazile to fill her spot.
Well, there you go.
Killing Fox News, killing the weekend audience for Fox News, and killing an awful lot of her supporters, among whom I count myself.
And, yeah, she's one of the few that's,
and
that actually
thing
tells
after another about Russia. You know, there is no Russia, but I'm getting so tired of reading the Facebook posts from friends of mine that talk about why they hate the president, and they talk about how he abused Obama when Obama was in office. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, did he bug Obama's offices? Did he say a word about Obama until he became a candidate? Did he rig the primaries? Did he lie to the FISA court? I can't think of what Trump did to offend Obama, except beat his successor, at least his erstwhile successor. I don't know when Michelle is going to run. She may be running as vice president under Biden. And that would be just one hell of a ticket. They could actually win, and Uncle Joe isn't going to last all that long. But happy celebration to Jimmy Carter, who is now the longest surviving U.S. president in history.
Oh, didn't know that.
Surpassing George H.W. Bush today. And we're looking at a lot of old folks. You know, in my lifetime, the oldest president in office was Eisenhower. Then it was Reagan. And if Trump serves out his 4 years, it'll be Trump. And also within that time, we've got the oldest presidents around. What's going on anyway? I mean, all these old people surrounding me. Is it just that I'm getting that old or what?
I think in
Billy Beer and Peanuts.
Yeah, and it might just be incompetence
something
and evil,
like
too. Because both of those two guys, between Bush and Jimmy Carter, you gotta wonder. Oh well, but we haven't had that many crops of good ones in most of our lifetimes, unfortunately. All right. Well, you know, the other thing.
Well, you go back beyond them. Yep. I was just saying, you go past these two that are Bush, of course, just passed away, and we've got Jimmy Carter. You go back, and before that, it was Reagan, and before that, it was Eisenhower. And I didn't go back too much farther because I ran out of time and I lost interest. But this is all in the last, you know, short period of America's history.
Okay, yep. Well, you know, and to add to your list there, Tim, if I had to pick the biggest story of the week, I would say it's that the gloves have come off. They've been off for a while, but now they're not even pretending anymore that the censorship isn't literally of worldwide and incredible caliber. You mentioned Judge Jeanine. How dare she say something against a treasonous, traitorous, anti-constitutional Muslim in Congress? And did I leave anything out there? You know, they banned her, or at least kicked her off,
yeah.
For a lot less than what the truth really is, to be honest about it. We have a Congress full of people
You forgot she's a person of color, and she's a woman. You forgot that.
Well, so is Judge Jeanine, but she's a conservative, which trumps all of the above.
True, true.
So anyway, the other, I would suggest the other big story, and maybe we'll start here if you guys are okay with it, because it goes almost everywhere else. Why are mainstream media outlets trying to censor the video footage of the New Zealand, the latest false flag? And what I thought was funny, over the weekend, even Rush Limbaugh, and Rush is not one to go out on a limb when it comes to being innovative and calling things what they really are. I mean, he'll go with the conservative mainstream, quote unquote, but rarely, like he did this last week, did he say, you know what, this thing stinks to high heaven. He probably soft-pedaled a little bit more than we would. But essentially, just about everything about the latest New Zealand false flag stunk to high heaven, including the fact that it looked like, and I didn't ever see the whole thing, they pretty well deep-sixed it quickly, but it looked like, and it was accurately described, as a first-person video game. And somebody pointed out, and this was, I was unable to verify, Mike Adams made the same comment, and I've heard others that I respect say it was true, that the video actually showed the brass, you know, the spent brass being ejected from the online video game gun disappearing before it hit the floor. And no wonder they got rid of all of that really quickly. They even deep-sixed the guy's manifesto pretty quickly once the narrative was in place that he was a Trump-supporting, you know, white supremacist and nothing else. And, of course, the truth is he called himself an eco-fascist and all kinds of other things that make him sound like a far-left nutcase. So they got rid of all of that. And then on, Thursday, Brighteon.com, which is Mike Adams' website, that is an attempt, at least, to put up an alternative to Google-controlled Big Brother-supporting YouTube. So Brighteon is what a lot of conservatives have been saying, well, we want to support a platform that isn't beholden to Big Brother. And they basically were banned, threatened from the entire worldwide internet infrastructure and told delete all of the New Zealand shooting videos and basically other stuff too that even referenced the manifesto or else. And he basically said, hey, if we don't do this quickly, they're going to kick us completely off the web. So serious stuff. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, you can find a lot of the manifesto. I've been looking for that manifesto online to see the whole thing, but you can find quite a lot of it from John Lott at his institute. I'm trying to remember the name of it, but Dr.
Yeah.
John Lott.
He's a good guy for sure.
He has a lot of points in there that are taken straight from the manifesto.
Well, there are certainly quotes available online. Yeah.
Yes, and he has substantial quotes, and his conclusion is very different, you might suspect, from that of NBC and ABC and CBS.
In other words, it's probably accurate. I'll have to check that one out. But John Lott, for those that don't know, he's no longer at the University of Chicago, if I'm remembering right, but he was University of Chicago, one of the foremost researchers on real gun crime and statistics and relationships, wrote a great book called More Guns, Less Crime, and a number of others, and he's right up there with Gary Kleck and some of the foremost true, honest researchers on the web when it comes to pointing out the actual statistics concerning the relationship between guns and crime, which is, as he put it in his book, more guns, less crime. And that's exactly the opposite of what we're seeing now in New Zealand, where you got one gun and a worldwide crime. Or several, maybe.
Of course, instituted by Donald Trump.
Of course. Well, that's what they're going to tell
us. I've heard the NRA blamed for it as well, not realizing that the NRA is not really headquartered in Christchurch, New Zealand.
Well, and some of us refer to them as the National Registration Authority, too, because they've not been, for example, anywhere close to the champion of shall not be infringed as, say, the Gun Owners of America and the good folks that we all know there.
Yes. Well, without cutting into Jeff's time, I'd love to talk a little bit more about what New Zealand's immediate knee-jerk reaction was.
Go ahead and lay it out.
And why, the first thing they did was immediately pass some kind of a gun turn-in law. And they've confiscated thousands and thousands of guns, and it's now going to be a criminal criminal possession of a lot of different things that were legal last week. And fortunately, it points out the difference between having a constitutional amendment, as we do, and a bunch of knee-jerk legislators who jumped at the chance to bring out the, I'm certain, prefabricated gun law they've been waiting for. And they immediately passed it. It's always been my experience that a knee-jerk reaction, especially a really wild one, is the best way to make sure that there's never going to be any unintended consequences.
Or to prove that exactly what it looks like is probably what it is. In other words, that it was so knee-jerk that it almost looked like the jerk preceded the thing that was supposed to precipitate it. In other words, they knew what was coming. And that's the thing. It's not just the Second Amendment ban here. It's the fact that worldwide they are expunging the web of this video. And the more information that comes out, the more it looks like there are lots and lots of things about this whole incident that, as I've already said, stink to high heaven. And the video would be one thing that people would be looking at to prove that. And that's exactly why it's just plain gone.
And the bell cannot be unrung, and that's the whole idea.
Well, see, the narrative is out there, and the narrative will be pushed, you know, from the I love Trump says the killer to everything else. And if they remove all of the evidence that would say otherwise, hey, who's going to argue with it? And here we are saying, you know, I can't even tell you about the video because I haven't seen it.
Well, now it's I love Candace Owens. And, I mean, hey, who doesn't? But you know, that means somehow she's responsible for 49 deaths in New Zealand. So, I'm going to shut up. I'm sorry, Jeff. Keep going.
Well, I wanted to mention one other thing quickly here, too, and that is, speaking of knee-jerk, you know, New Zealand's own Candace Owens, their nutcase of a prime minister, not only was out there talking about banning guns and all that kind of stuff within minutes, but she popped on a burqa. And the New Zealand Parliament had Islamic prayers. Now, they've outlawed Christian prayers, evidently, but they're fine with the Islamic prayers. And they have decided that, well, the only people that can have guns will be their cops that normally aren't armed, but they will put them around mosques in New Zealand. The rest of the New Zealanders can just go out and die once they have their protection removed, evidently.
Okay. Well, you know, it's not our country, so I can't do much about it. Let them do what they want, but I think it's horrible.
Well, and it's not, but they are in fact forcing it here. Like I said, Mike Adams has been said, he was told, I'll be sued not by the United States, not by our jurisdiction, but by Australia for crying out loud if he didn't remove the videos. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I got something completely different.
I was afraid of that, but go ahead.
But it's not that much different because it's something you just said, Mark.
Oh, okay, okay.
The Independent in the UK, in Britain, is reporting the Home Office has refused asylum to a Christian convert by quoting Bible passages which says it proves Christianity is not a peaceful religion.
Oh, yeah, yep. How did we get there? That's
quotes,
a good one.
let's see. The refusal letter from the department states the book of Revelation, the final book of the Bible, is filled with imagery of revenge, destruction, death, and violence, and cites six excerpts from it. These examples are inconsistent with your claim that you converted to Christianity after discovering it is a peaceful religion as opposed to Islam, contains more violent rage and revenge. So anyhow, the comments were basically that you had made, Mark, about you could pray to the Islamic faiths, but you couldn't pray to the Christian faiths format. And now we have in the UK the Home Office, which is basically the government, is saying that Christianity isn't a peaceful religion.
But Islam is. There's the real irony.
If you don't have freedom of religion, then Everybody who's in power is free to interpret the religions and do what they will with them. One thing you might want to notice, though, is that Judaism, Christianity, the Muslim faith, all of them have, and capitalists, all of them have one main thing in common, which is profit sharing. And they don't share all of them, but most of them most of the prophets survive, especially the older ones.
Spell prophet. I'm
and,
not.
He's saying the prophet.
Well, the capitalist.
You're saying
capitalist
prophet,
spell it with
I
an I, and the religions spell it with an E, and the capitalists spell it with an I, but it's all the
okay.
same God.
Okay. Okay.
There you
well,
go.
Yeah, and the Home Office thing, Jeff, you know, I mean, Britain has been so far over the top for a long time that it's amazing to me that they even make a pretense that anybody in Britain has free speech anymore, because they're about as far gone as you can get.
Well, thankfully, we're not the UK nor America are as bad as putting people into jail for 5 years for scribbling on a photo of one of the politicians.
Well, or in fact, if you blaspheme the prophet, they'll cut off your head in a lot of places of the world, including some major U.S. allies. Since you mentioned it, I'm going to read this story, too. There's a quick headline here that gets it. This is repeated a number of places. J.D. Hayes at Natural News is the one I'm looking at. Astonishing bias. There have been 452 Islamic terror attacks in 31 countries so far in just this year, 2019, and zero, basically, coverage from the mainstream media. And by far the bulk of those, yes, been committed by Muslim extremists, often against followers of other faiths, but all of that combined doesn't get a fraction of the coverage of this one by a guy down in Christchurch against the Muslims.
Well, this is also the one with the highest body count, so you've got to get...
Oh, no, that's not true.
Just on a news cycle.
That's not true. That's not actually true, Tim. There have been many, many, particularly in Nigeria, that have higher body counts than that, because they'll go in and burn and destroy entire villages. But that just doesn't get much coverage.
Well, we need to have, more Western Europeans in Nigeria so we care.
Okay.
Or share the language so we care. It's really a damn shame. And
well,
there's no way around it, because the media repeats only what the AP tells them, and the AP picks up only what it feels like.
And in so many cases, as you know, they're all getting their news from, as you point out, the same sources. But moreover, they're beholden to the same God. And I don't know that I'd spell it prophit in this case, but it certainly amounts to if you want to stay in business, you got to tout the extant major religion, which call it Islam or call it secular humanism. It's anything other than the other ones that you mentioned. Let me do this quickly. There's a quote online from the manifesto where the alleged lone gunman, and remember how there used to be discussion about he had help, at least three other people, at least one other shooter were originally reported. Hey, there's another reason for getting rid of that video. He asked himself, why did you choose firearms? And said, I could have chosen any weapon or means, a TATP-filled rental van, household flour, a method of dispersion, and an ignition source, ball-peen hammer with a wooden shield, gas, fire, vehicular attacks, plane attacks, all kinds of things I could do. I had the will, I had the resources, but I chose firearms for the effect it would have on social discourse, the extra media coverage they would provide, and the effect it would have on the politics, to your point, Tim, of the United States, and thereby the political situation of the world. He then went on to say he wants to literally create a war and destroy the U.S. Over its Second Amendment along state, social, cultural, and mostly important racial lines and so forth. So this guy is, he is literally towing the water for the deep state worldwide. But all of this, again, being deep sixed.
Well, who cares? Who cares on a worldwide basis? Who cares if you make headlines in New Zealand? But if you make headlines in London and New York, you've really done a lot. And that's what he's trying to do. Weird thing, I had a Buddhist friend ask me the other day. He said, what is all the big deal about all these monotheistic religions that hate each other? Doesn't make any sense. Because if they're all monotheistic, there's only one God. And if there's only one God, then that's the one we're all worshiping. So
it's
where's
cronyism.
The conflict?
It's cronyism.
And And I sort of thought to myself, only a Buddhist would ask that kind of a question, but it's a darn good question.
Well, all you have to do is read the scriptures and read the Quran and ask yourself, hey, I can tell the difference between Erica Jung and Ayn Rand, for example, by reading some of their prose. Can't you tell the difference between the guy, who wrote one versus who wrote the other? Very clearly, if there's only one God, they're not the same. And that provides another dilemma that, logically, Buddhism is going to have a difficult time with.
Well, they pretty much don't care.
Okay, yeah.
That's the idea. We have the freedom to worship as we wish, and so do they, and that's fine with everybody. At least it's fine with them.
All right.
It should be fine with everybody, but, you know.
Well, the problem, of course, And this goes back to the First Amendment, and this is something that we've talked about before. John Adams and Thomas Jefferson both knew it. Jefferson had a hard time coming to terms with it, but that's why he had his copy of the Quran. It was proof that, it's one thing if you say the God of the Bible gives people a choice. You can worship me, you don't have to worship me, there are consequences, but still choose life and choose whom you will serve. Whereas Islam says, no, you don't have a choice. You worship Allah or you die. Dar al-Islam. The only kind of peace is the peace of the sword or of submission. And there is a fundamental inconsistency there. Those things cannot coexist. And the founders, even Jefferson, who was real big on religious freedom, came to realize, well, you can't have religious freedom if somebody wants to come and kill you and sacrifice your children to their God.
Well, this is why you also have a civil law in place that prevents those kinds of sacrifices.
Supposed to.
And if you want to live in a country that has religious freedom, you do not supplant those secular laws with your religious beliefs.
Okay, but
how do you... Secular law takes precedence over the religious law.
Respectfully disagree, Tim, because it can't. Ultimately, if the secular law is a function of anything that people believe today, and it can be changed just because all of a sudden we've decided we do want to kill certain people or take their property, right? 51% can vote to take the property of the other 49% in a democracy. Why not vote to kill people? And that's what we're seeing.
Well, that's why we don't have a democracy. We have a constitutionally limited representative republic.
Do we? Still?
We
really?
We don't have a democracy. Well, it comes down to the question I'm always asking. If we really believe in a constitution, and we really believe it's worth dying for, like generations of our predecessors have, but always on foreign soil except during the Civil War, if you really believe that our constitution is worth fighting for and dying for, why are the enemies of the Constitution so well revered and so safe?
And sitting in Congress.
And why are they safe?
That's a great point. Jeff, we got less than 30 seconds.
They shouldn't be.
You're right. Well, and they shouldn't be allowed, essentially. That was the whole point. For a secular nation, there is, in fact, an oath that Congress was supposed to take about preserving, protecting, defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. It ends with, so help me God. And essentially, there was a big debate, of course, as you know, but the idea is unless they believe that our rights come from a higher power, as opposed to just the biggest brother you can imagine, ultimately there will be a showdown. And here we are today approaching that showdown.
I agree. We had one in 1861, and we're going to have another one, but it's not geographical. So it's very hard to draw the lines.
That's
true. Which makes a guerrilla war a whole lot more likely.
And nastier, too.
And then a war on the field.
All right, well, that takes us to the bottom of the hour here. Music coming up now, so we'll be right back in just a few minutes. Stay with us.
Okay, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, everybody. Second half of Drive Time Friday. We host Mark Call and myself, Jeff Gilbert. Our brother has left the building. He is going to take his sister back home after her operation. So we wish them safe travels as they travel. But that can't be said for those who fly those 737 MAX Boeing aircraft, because you have to pay extra for the safety features that would keep you from flying into the ground. And it's okay. I don't think it's okay, personally, but that's just me.
I'm not sure
the other thing I want to...
Whoa, time out. Let's stop there for a second since you mentioned it. I'm not sure what you meant specifically, although there was some information that came out this week that essentially confirmed what we were speculating about last time. And that is that there's this system called MCAS, M-C-A-S. Basically what it is, it's an anti-stall system. It's software. And when the plane decides, I'm pushing the nose down, whether the pilot likes it or not, it does that. And the interesting part is that there was some information that we had, we talked about a little bit, that said the Boeing folks had known, maybe, and this is where the speculation re-enters, that there was a stability issue because they had to put bigger engines on. They couldn't remove, they couldn't change the landing gear too much without having to do a whole lot of recertification and basically cutting of metal. So they knew that when they put bigger engines and raised them up a bit, it was going to change the flight characteristics. But hey, we'll fix it with software, right? And the problem is, evidently, they didn't document very well how to turn that damn MCAS system off. A maneuvering characteristics augmentation system. And what saved the earlier flight, there was a deadhead pilot on board the Lion Air that was almost would have crashed en route from Bali to Jakarta. But when the system did the same thing there, he showed the flight crew how to disable the malfunctioning flight control system by turning off the power to the motor that was driving the nose down. And that's what saved them. And now he's come forward and talked about it. So all of that's interesting, Jeff. Go ahead. I'm not sure where you were headed with what you were suggesting there.
Well, it goes on to say the article from the New York Times says standard 737 MAX airplanes are not equipped with the so-called angle of attack indicator nor an angle of attack disagree light. But because of the recent crashes, the indicator will continue to cost airlines extra in order to buy it. But the light they're going to start putting on for free.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, this was a feature that you had to pay extra for to have. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? You're right.
Yeah, it's a feature so that you don't
die.
Isn't that nice?
The no death feature. I think that's a good thing. You know, what the heck? Might as well spring for that.
Yeah, I think I would have sprung for that too.
Well, the trouble is you don't know it.
Like Ethiopia. Indian carriers, they don't have, or Indonesian carriers, they don't have that. The Ethiopian carriers, same thing. It says many airlines, especially low-cost carriers like Indonesia's Lion Air, as well as the Ethiopian Airlines, neither of those have the money to spend on this extra safety benefit, which actually isn't safety whenever your original equipment is faulty to begin with.
And therein lies the rub, and that's literally the multi-billion dollar question, is how all of this is going to play out. Because you know, the questions have to do with certification and who spends how much money and was this thing rushed through? How much did Boeing know and when did they know it? You can pretty well guess what all the lawyers are going to have a field day with.
Yeah, well, you know how it's going to go.
And as an engineer, both of us have been involved in this, but I know that when I worked in software for a storage company, I had some knockdown dragouts with my management, essentially saying, look, you know, there is a problem. We know about this problem on our drive. Now, it wasn't going to kill anybody. It was just going to affect customers not being able to access their data, which they think is a big deal. But there were particular cases where we knew I could prove mathematically that this bug existed, and the only fix had to do with hardware for reasons that I won't go into. But you couldn't fix it with software. But they were convinced, no, Mark, you can fix it with software. Well, yeah, I can mask it, but I cannot make it go away. I can make it less likely, but I can't make it go away. But when you're talking about something that might kill an airplane, those little things become really big deals.
Well, when you have something that will kill a client, you know, they are clients, and Boeing, I believe, should be held liable for this. because something that offsets an error on their side shouldn't be an additional piece of equipment that has to be purchased.
Well, okay. I mean, we can certainly make that claim, and there you go. I mean, you can't necessarily enforce it, right?
Well, yeah, some could, but not in the way our system is set up. Oh, by the way, hey, did you hear that the U.S. endorses Israel's Golan sovereignty in a big shift?
Yeah, Trump has said that he would do that. And I've always found that interesting because essentially, like it or not, what you have is a situation where Israel basically was attacked, and they showed people, best not attack us. They took that land fair and square. So, by what would have been conditionally, once upon a time, called the rules of war, they own it.
Yeah, well, that's how the Americans do it, and that's how the British do it, and that's how the Portuguese did it, and that's how Russia does it, and that's how China does it. But when somebody else does it, like Israel, we don't like that.
Okay. Well, all right. Let's talk about a couple of other things. I want to go to this before we run out of too much time. The Fed's Open Market Committee, right? Those are the guys that meet on Mount Olympus because they are more godlike than the mere market and Adam Smith's invisible hand. They can tell you what interest rates ought to be before the market even knows. And they basically, they had to admit this week that they were clueless. So the headline I like says, Powell throws in the towel on growth and inflation after saying we're going to keep raising rates until something breaks. They finally had to say, well, maybe something broke already. And they are no more going to hike in 2019 and maybe only one next year. And the markets basically said, what, the Fed is fallible? They admit that they can't fix this problem. And now there's been a whole lot of repercussions from that.
You know, I got to tell you, Mark, I didn't really follow much of the FOMC this week. I know that there's... most of my stuff has been going on with Venezuela, and Venezuela has this huge thing going on with Citigroup. Citigroup is going to sell Venezuela's gold because Caracas missed a deadline buyback to get the.
The truth is, they have already sold Venezuela's gold. They better just lay their hands on it quickly before it gets away.
Well, they left out a T because they originally had stolen it. Now they're going to sell it.
Yeah. Well, who knows how many times they've sold it, and that's part of the bigger issue here, too.
Rehypothecation, baby.
Yep. We can do it until we get caught. Or even if we do get caught, we'll do it until somebody forces us to admit that we did it anyway.
Well, it's $1.35 billion under current market conditions, which is there was... They only had to pay a little bit less. I mean, quite a bit less than that in order to save it. But oh well.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some other economic things while we're on the subject of the Fed and missing gold and lies and currency meltdowns and so forth. Here's one from Zero Hedge, Mark Hansen. U.S. housing hits a brick wall. There's a company called Redfin that puts out a monthly home sales report with a lot of great data, it says. And the year-over-year growth in the last months reported, which would be February of 2018 over 2019, or vice versa, but 2018 is a lot more growier than 2019, it's staggering, especially in some high-flying regions. Very few regions, says the story, escaped a significant deceleration, with some prominent ones like San Jose and San Francisco getting crushed on a year-to-year basis. And essentially what he says, this certainly looks like what we saw back in, about 2007 when it came to housing collapse. You there?
I'm sorry. I was listening for something that I could talk about on that, but I just...
Okay, let me throw one more then, and you can talk about any. Here's what's the Fed got wrong? This is from Jeffrey Snyder, like his comments. Alhambra Investment Partners. Basically what he says is the bond market knew all along what the Fed has just finally admitted that they figured out. Now, the other thing with the FOMC that I think is funny, they keep talking about R-star. This is a fancy new term for, what should the interest rates be? How much inflation? And essentially, it amounts to... really, what they're talking about is the neutral rate of inflation. Now, we used to call it negative interest rates. When bonds don't pay enough to cover the actual real inflation rate in the economy, anybody would be stupid to buy one because you're getting your principal eaten away. And that's what's been going on for a long time. So what they do is they have this risk-on statement that says, well, look, if we make it so that you can't keep your money safe in bonds, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to go chase yield. Find something that yields higher returns, even if it might, in fact, go to zero. So that's higher risk, higher yield, and eventually you build a system where you have this house of cards that may just come apart at the seams. And that's the other thing that was that's going on here. Now, then there's this one from Zero Hedge. I'll throw one more article out, Jeff, and then give you a chance. One of the big economists that the Waste Stream loves is a guy named Bider. I don't care much for him, but he has admitted that, most estimates of today's neutral real rate policy for the U.S. hover between 0.5% and 1%. Others are negative. So, one implication for monetary policy, says this guy, is that this just might be the time for helicopter money drops. Yeah, old helicopter Ben was right all along. We need to print money like there's no tomorrow, and now they're coming out and saying it. It's called modern monetary theory, too, by the way. All right, Jeff, a lot of monetary meat there. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, you know, I've got to tell you, monetarily, lots of problems. Obviously, the whole world is based upon fiat, whether you're on the BRIC side or this side, BRIC, the Russian-Brazil bank. Something that has caught my eye, which I thought you might find interesting, is that NATO had an exercise back in November, and Finland and Norway said that Russia was jamming their GPS signals. Russia said, no, we haven't. And Finland and Norway says, yes, you have. And Russia said, give me proof. And the Norwegian defense minister said, okay, here's the proof. And they gave him the proof. And the reason I bring this up is that when we have a war and when GPS signals are knocked out in a war, it cripples our war machine. And this is something
smart
that
bombs
Russia
aren't so smart.
Well, yeah. The people who build them aren't so smart either. But, you know, it just seems like that war is definitely still a player on the table. It is, we're not just talking about the war being economic or the war being electronic, but the war is absolutely still blood in the snow type war, and we're still very much on track for being the same brutal people that we've always been. So much for becoming better every generation.
Almost like nothing new under the sun.
Russia is continuing to try to push buttons across the neighborhood and to try to draw a lot of fear about their abilities in a physical war. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, no argument there. I guess I would say that is, in fact, the nature of the beast when it comes to trying to convince people you don't want to fight me.
True. I can remember times in my life where I did similar things just so I didn't have to fight somebody.
Well, and that's part of, you know, I mean, that dates all the way back to Mad and similar kind of things. And to some extent, that's a good thing. I would rather people perceive us as strong than as weak and needing to be struck while our guard is down and so forth.
Yeah. Well, on the financial front, China is fixing to lend $2.1 billion to Pakistan, which China has, if you've been tracking China's lending practices over the last couple of years, they have heavily indebted many parts of Africa, now Pakistan even more so, Venezuela, Nicaragua, and the list is quite long, not to mention, obviously, United States and Britain, who are heavily indebted to China. So there's still a lot of tension growing in that realm, and people, I don't see a lot of it being talked about.
Okay. So do you have a conclusion for us on that score? I guess I don't have a comment.
The conclusion is the bread and the games are still keeping people active and not paying attention to what's actually happening around them.
And to that extent, ain't nothing new under the sun. Thinking about it, I guess on the same topic, I saw an interesting piece. I talked about this yesterday on the Come Out of Her My People show, because essentially this is Caitlin Johnstone, who's well-known, and they're calling her a black conservative. I'm not sure that she's quite conservative. She definitely is more libertarian-oriented, left libertarian, if you will. But because she has been calling things what they are, she has achieved some notoriety, and also, of course, a lot of folks on the left want to ban her, even if they once didn't mind her. She wrote a piece about America's Venezuela strategy, as she calls it. The only thing I would really disagree here is that she blames Trump for it. I'm not sure that Trump is really in control of it. But essentially, she says, the Trump administration is working hard to overthrow the government of Venezuela. They're not doing it by military invasion, nor by funneling armed militants into the country, as is happening to us, for example, nor starvation sanctions and covert CIA ops. Well, at least not that we know of, if they're covert. But first and foremost, the way they're doing it is utilizing what is, she calls it a low-risk, low-cost plan to simply control the stories, the narrative about who is in charge in Venezuela. And this is kind of funny if you think of the irony here, because she says all you got to do is just call, get this guy, call him Juan, put old Juan up there and say, Juan's the real president, even if he didn't get elected. And, you know what? I can't help but think, isn't that exactly what's being done with Mueller and the investigation? He's the real president even if he didn't get elected. Well, no, she is, and he's not. So the point that she makes is, if you control the narrative, you can control the country, or at least that's their intent. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, yeah, intent. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Listen, I've got... While you were saying that, I ran across another article, which I thought was quite interesting. Schrodinger's kittens, new thought experiment breaks quantum theory. Interesting read. Not gonna talk about it, but for those who are interested in that kind of thing, take a look at it. Schrodinger's kittens, new thought experiment breaks quantum theory.
Oh, okay, tell me real quickly without going, how does it do this? Essentially, for those that aren't familiar with Schrodinger's cat, the idea goes like this. If you have a black cat and a black box, and the black box is totally impermeable, you can't see in, you can't see out, how do you even know if there's a cat in there, right? You can't prove there's
a
cat in there.
Is it alive or dead?
And is it alive or dead? Yeah. So you can't tell anything about the cat. You can't see it. There's nothing going in, nothing going out. So essentially, this is a thought experiment about, how can you measure something that you can't touch? And it goes back to other similar things. Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. I can't measure and know both the mass or the velocity, the momentum, various characteristics of a particle or even a wave at the same time. Can't know it all.
Right, because you can only see one aspect at a time. The same with cards. Before you flip a card over, what is the card? You don't know until you flip it over.
Well, and the very act of measuring something, in effect, ultimately can change it. In order to interact with a particle, you have to, shine light on it or measure it, and that actually can remove energy or change its mass or velocity or some characteristic of it. So you can't know what it was because you can't see it. So back to Schrodinger's cat.
Right, right. Objects in one state cannot experience objects in another state without becoming that state.
Okay,
so you become that state, you're no longer a ticket. But anyhow, that was interesting. I thought was interesting.
Okay, so it's just interesting. I wasn't sure if you were making some point about quantum mechanics.
No. It was just interesting. So much news on politics and economics. People go dizzy, and I'm throwing out some other things. The last now completely different for something completely different. The last one for the day is Jordan Peterson has had his fellowship rescinded from Cambridge University. Because he's not a team player.
Okay.
He doesn't go along with the social justice warriors of the education system, nor the left-wing radical political activists, and he doesn't kowtow to people who want to be called Zim. So I find him invigorating. I find him interesting to listen to, and I find his opinions refreshing.
Yet, okay.
Cambridge University has added itself to a growing list of these narcissistic universities to basically reject Jordan Peterson's ideology, which is a shame because I think he's actually on the right path in a lot of things.
Okay. Well, I give him the 80-20 rule. He has a few things that he's right on, and he's probably a lot more impressed with himself than I am of him, to be honest. But hey, I guess he's not quite as bad as the Kardashians or almost anybody in Congress on that score. Let me throw a couple things that you might not have seen that you'd probably find interesting, Jeff. Not too far from here was a place in New Mexico that was a horrific terrorist training camp. Remember this? A bunch of Muslims that were essentially deep six. The district attorney for the area there down around Taos, New Mexico, blew it, and some would suggest maybe he blew it on purpose. The FBI seemed incompetent, and they arrested these people, but then they didn't actually find themselves able to prosecute. So the news this week was that a grand jury handed out what they call a superseding indictment on March 13th, charging the various Muslim terrorists with federal offenses relating to terrorism and kidnapping. Oh, and of course, we got to throw in the firearms violations, too. So at least partial good news, but the bad news is they are again using unconstitutional federal laws to prosecute people that if we actually had a law, probably shouldn't have been here doing what they were doing to begin with.
True. Well, that's true. I mean, hey, listen, if you don't leave your door open in your house, why do you have to leave your borders open on your country?
You'd think.
Nicaragua is going to release a bunch of their jailed protesters that have been in there in jail for as much as a year. And one of the things that I find interesting is that in the last month, we've had a very large increase in the number of people living on the streets. Nicaraguans who are down here, families, moms, children, husbands, wives, children, that are basically walking around begging for food. We haven't seen that. We've been here for almost 10 years. We haven't seen that.
Wait a second.
Go ahead.
So I remember having been there, and there was a large Nico, they call them Ticos, the Costa Rican natives and the Nicos, the Nicaraguans, and there was a large influx. Certainly a lot of people in construction trades were Nicaraguan. It was considered kind of sort of illegal aliens coming in, and yet, as I remember, it was pretty common. So I'm not sure what you're saying has changed, just other than that you're seeing more of them there.
What you're talking about is the Nicas that come down here to work and then send money back home. Now it's people who have left their home. Whole families are leaving their home. Instead of it was just the workers that were heading out to go work in construction or whatever else they were doing.
They may have been crossing the border illegally, though.
Money home to mom, but now mom is down here with them, and they're all living on the street.
Okay, well, I guess they're taking a cue from the U.S. and saying, "Hey, we can get away with it here too."
Well, that and also their country is stinking like a huge pile of a lot of flooding going on in the Midwest. I got friends in Kansas and Nebraska who are underwater. It looks like the cold is going to continue for a while longer. A lot of trouble, a lot of strife in the homes back home.
Yep, and even some major Air Force bases underwater.
Well.
Yep, it's a mess for sure.
Yep,
with
yep.
a lot of melting and arguably a whole lot of climate events that may or may not be natural. Some of them are solar, and others may in fact be HARP related, or who knows? Because officially it's not happening, and unofficially it sure looks like it is. But it wouldn't be the first time they've been lying to us. Hey, less than a minute to go. Let me throw out, there's a whole bunch of news about sex crimes, from child trafficking. Remember Nexium case? This was the one where, a lot of high profile people, including an actress from the Smallville TV show, were indicted for child sex trafficking, female adults being branded after all kinds of nasty stuff. Well, there's more coming out on that, more indictments. The Lisa Page transcripts have been revealed, and hey, would you believe, there are more lies there than the press has been reporting on, and it looks like, the insurance policy was a very real thing, and worse still, the FBI declined to pursue real charges against Clinton, and it's almost like she was above the law. Federal court removes two unsealed documents in the Jeffrey Epstein. Remember the Lolita Express, Sex Slave Island, Bill and Hill on board. Let's go down and party with the little kiddies. Allegedly. Anyway, more documents will be unsealed in that alleged sex trafficking operation. It looks like there were some high-profile folks in Mueller's camp that were involved in making sure that he only got a slap on the wrist first time around there, too. So plenty of criminality and even eventually a little bit of exposure. No wonder they're looking to shut the web down and make sure we don't hear what's going on. Hey, thanks, Jeff. Shabbat shalom, folks.